I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
All right, my friends, get your head right for a Monday morning on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Good morning. I am half of Ben and Woods. I am Woodsy. And to my right, our assistant producer, The Hammer. Good morning, my friend.
What's up, my dude?
How you doing?
Awesome this week.
Good. And to his right, our executive producer, Paul Reindl. Good morning, buddy.
Hello, Woodsy.
How was the birthday weekend, Paulie? First of all, congrats on the sex. Because you had a staycation with your girlfriend, Megan, and nice. In a hotel room.
Got to have sex.
You got to have sex in a hotel room.
It's facts.
Make love. Sorry. This is a family show. Congrats on the lovemaking.
PG, all
right. Congrats on the lovemaking.
Great weekend.
Good.
Yeah, it was really, really tough last night, putting the rundown together, getting the show ready, getting kind of dialed back in.
It's never easy to do on a Sunday, but it's
already sucks.
It's never easy to do after like a wonderful vacation of lying there with your well-endowed girlfriend in a hotel room for an entire weekend with no responsibilities, no dogs to take care of.
No sports, no dogs, no social media, like nothing. And then I'm just like, oh, back to reality tomorrow morning at 3 a.m.
That's the beauty of the vacation, man. I was pretty fired up to get in here today. There's a lot to talk about. Mondays are, for a lot of you out there, they're not great days. Monday for a sports radio host is like the best day, and it's pretty much all downhill from here until you get to Friday. The trick this week is to have good shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday will be great because it's Friday. Everybody's in good mood. Monday's going to be good because there's a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff to rehash over the weekend. A lot of football went down, a lot of baseball stuff to talk about as well. Great weekend in our house, man. My wife's 30th birthday yesterday. And we went to Caboo on Friday. We will have, I would imagine today at some point, have a fairly lengthy discussion about Caboo and how it affects our beloved San Diego Padres. Big news broke last night. So we'll get into that. I'm interested to hear Ben's take. I'm interested to hear from callers, you know, that may have seen this news last night. And I've already seen a lot of panic, which I think is innate in Padre fans right now, and I don't blame you one bit for being mad. I don't blame you one bit for being suspicious. You know, I think after 9 straight losing seasons, you've earned that right to be mad and to be suspicious. And we will talk about all of that at length. Caboo for me was fine.
Just fine?
It was fine. It was warm, for one, and it's tough. Like, you know, you don't want to drive your own car there. The traffic in and out's pretty bad, so you take an Uber. But the way they've got the Uber set up, Hammer and Paul, I mean, we Ubered in, they dropped us off, then you have to walk for a while, then you have to wait for a tram to take you like 8 furlongs around the track. Then you get off there, then you have another quarter mile to half mile walk to the gate. You got to get your wristband, then you go inside. Then you get inside, and it's essentially on a blacktop. I mean, the whole thing's on a blacktop. So you're sweating, you know, profusely as you're walking great distances. And, you know, at my age, my tolerance level for BS, I get over it pretty quick. We saw the first band we saw was REO Speedwagon, big band from the 80s. You may not, you've never heard of them, have you?
No, I've heard of Speedwagon, but for a different reason.
All right. So, and then we saw Boys to Men. My wife really likes Boys to Men. We watched some of the.
They're still around?
Still around, still sound pretty good.
Okay, good.
Still
for
sound pretty good. Then we watched The Cult, another big band from the 80s and 90s, one of my favorites. Didn't sound all that great. And then we matriculated over to the main stage to finish off with some Kings of Leon, who sounded amazing. And we stayed about 10 songs for them. And you look around and you're surrounded by, you know, 40,000 people or whatever it was. And you're like, oh, remember the Uber thing to get out of here? Let's just go now because we're old. We have a child at home. We have babysitters.
We'll get the rest of the show on Spotify.
I've seen them a million times. I know what it's going to sound like. It's going to sound good. I've seen them so many times. I got my taste, and we got the hell out of there. So it was fine, man. It was fine, and I'll leave it at that. But again, it's not the last you'll hear about Kaboo this weekend. It was pretty funny, though. Saturday, we went out for birthday breakfast at Great Maple at the UTC. Me, my wife, and Bo. And we needed to go to Nordstrom to return something. By something, I mean the gift that I had bought my wife for her birthday the day before.
Good for you, man.
So, yeah, well done.
You got the wrong thing?
I got her something that was perfect for her. She's very practical and said, well, I won't use it. And I said, we actually got a little bit of a tiff about it, to be honest with you. I said, well, babe, I got it for you, for your birthday. She said, well, I'm not going to use it. And I said, well, fake it. Pretend that you love it. She goes, no, I actually like it. It was a purse. And she said, I won't use it. You know, I don't use big bags like this. I said, no, I did not know that. I just saw it, and it reminded me of you, and I thought it would be a nice gift for your 30th birthday.
So that wife is literally Rachel from Friends.
Yeah, she is. She can't fake. Like, she did that bit in Friends where she returned all the gifts.
Yeah,
and I'm
absolutely.
Raw, and I'm Ross, and I got my feelings hurt a little bit. You know, and I said, baby, you got to, at some point, like, you just got to say, oh, my God, that is the greatest, most thoughtful gift. Thank you so much. And if I never saw the purse again, I'm not the kind of guy to be like, where's that purse I got you? I don't care. I got it for you. Maybe wear it out a couple times. But you know what? And it's the thing I love about her the most. There is no BS. You kind of always know where you stand with my wife, Hannah. So I wanted to wish her one more time, the final time. A very happy 30th birthday, my
love.
Not
the final time.
It's probably not the final time. So we're at the UTC, and we go over to Nordstrom's to return this purse. And my wife goes, doesn't Hammer work at this one? And I said, I think he does. Let me text him. So I text Hammer. I go, hey, man, are you working today? He goes, yes. I said, well, me, Hannah, and Bo are here. Come say hi. He goes, well, I'm taking a poop.
Yep, always.
And I said, oh, all right, well, we're here. Now, I didn't know how long... I didn't know how long you were going to be, but I said, hey, we're here. Come out and say hello. So I'm sorry that I made you cut your scene.
Oh, it was fine. I was kind of through the process.
All right. Cut your session a little short, but he came out. It was great. Hammer comes out. Bo's there. My wife's there. And then we get to go meet Mrs. Hammer. Not your wife, but your mom.
Mama Hammer.
Mama Hammer. Sorry.
Mrs. Hammer. Come on now.
We get to meet Mama Hammer.
Yeah, which she walks right across this, like, the hallway.
It's the hallway,
awesome.
Yeah.
We take over Nordstrom.
So we go over, yeah, it's the Perlin house, man. We go over there, and I get to meet Mama Hammer, and she's so sweet. And it was the funniest thing. I was like, hey, listen, we've really enjoyed having Alex on our show. He's brought a lot to the table, and we're all standing there. And Hammer looks at his mom and goes, see, I told you.
She didn't believe you?
I go, hey, listen, he's a really, really talented dude. I said, we really love having him on our show, and he's made our show a lot better. She looked at us, and she goes, really? And he goes, I told you.
Him a time.
What was that about?
Yo, so, like, my mom, like, without a doubt, is, like, my best friend, number one supporter.
Yep.
Like, if you know the true story of Hammer, like, everything that's went behind it, the fact that she stood by me is, like, unbelievable. I've done whatever I could to push people away. Sure. My mom is incredible.
That's what moms do, man. Those are the best moms.
She's also a realist.
She's a realist.
And she's heard what I've done in the past. And she's like, the fact that they've given you a lot of freedom to do whatever you want
so,
scares her every single morning.
God. So she tells me, so I guess when we first came up with the idea of Hammer Time, Hammer's own segment, because Hammer is an out there dude, funny as hell, very positive, which I really appreciate because, like I said before, Paul and I can be negative. Ben's usually fairly right in the middle of the road. Not too positive, not too negative. Hammer is a light of positivity every day, and it's a nice balance for our show. And that's why it's been a good fit. But she said, I gotta be honest with you, Woods. when me and his father found out that you guys had given him his own segment to do pretty much whatever he wants, which that is it. There are no rules on Hammer Time. Guy can talk about boobs. He can talk about weed, whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. He can do whatever he wants.
We've done both.
We have.
Pokemon.
She looked at me and she goes, let's just say that we were a little nervous and concerned.
Bro, like long talks. I'm telling you, it was a big deal in the household. When I told him, I was like, yeah, Mom, you gotta hear this segment. I can do whatever I want. Like, she wasn't really happy for me.
Right.
She was just like, do we need to talk about this? Because we know how you get. I was like, Mom, I'll be fine.
I'll be good. I'll be good. And that's what I was trying to tell her. I was like, Mrs. Perlin, the crazier the better. Like, we want that. We want that side of him on the air because it's good radio. And as long as he feels safe, like we're not making fun of him, then we're good, you know? And like, as long as he embraces that segment and that role.
Oh, yeah.
Then, yeah, exactly. So, man, it was a pleasure meeting her. She is fantastic.
She's the best person.
She really is really cool. My wife loved her to death. And Bo, you know, it was just like.
My mom loves Bo.
Oh, dude.
I feel like every woman in the world loves Bo.
It's so hard not to.
Bro,
it's so hard
not to. Kisses and stuff, stealing hearts.
Yeah, just killing it. He knows. He knows who he is. Already.
Wait till he's like.
Dude, when he's like.
21, 22.
Forget it. Dude, forget it.
He's going to take over the world.
So, man, it was a really, really good weekend. It's a really good weekend. And yeah, it's tough to it's usually tough to come back to work. I was excited to get back though today because God bless, there is so much to talk about. I did want to mention this too in the open because I was lying in bed last night and yeah, man, across my phone, the dreaded news breaking. Cars lead singer Rick Ocasek passed away at the age of 75. Now, you guys are young. Hammer, you're young. You ever heard the Cars before?
Cars the movie, that's about it.
Cars the movie, that's about it. All right, that's not even close. But there was a band in the 80s called the Cars, and this is them. And they were one of my favorites of all time. And I think it's because it reminds me so fondly of my youth. Pretty much helped. I was raised by a village. You know, like my uncles, my aunts, my mom. That was a village, man. My grandparents and my uncle was in high
school. It's a village to raise an idiot.
That's exactly right.
Stop it.
My uncle was in high school at the time, and he had an RX-7 right when it came out. Mazda RX-7. So cool. Me and him, when I was about 4 years old, driving around listening to this. Super, super talented band. Criminally underrated band. He produced bands like Weezer, who I love. You know, the Blue Album. I mean, he produced it. He produced albums by Bad Brains, huge in the punk world. Produced bands like Not a Surf. Very, very talented guy. Was married to a supermodel for 27 years. Rick Ocasek, for me, is just my youth, man. And when somebody that gives you such good memories from your youth passes away, you feel like a little piece of you dies as well, and a piece of your youth. So, rest in power, Rick Ocasek, man. I've always listened to the Cars. Always. I never took a year or two off. They've always been in the playlist for me. And to lose him last night, still don't know how he was found dead in his apartment at 75. So I'm really hoping it wasn't anything sinister. I'm hoping it was just old age, but really, really huge loss in the music world. So rest in peace, Rick Ocasek from the Cars today. We'll probably have some Cars on bumper music return. We got to get going, though. Ben is on his way in. Coming up next, we had a great interview Friday on Fryer Friday. Sam Gainey, Padres Senior Director of Player Development. I mean, this is where we're at now at this point after a sweep this weekend, talking about player development. Some big news out of the minor leagues as well. It's Ben and Woods. And we'll play that for you next on our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Here we go. Substitution, mass confusion. Have to take a hand.
Hi there, Friar Phil here with a special message today. It's a happy birthday greeting to the producer of the Ben and Woods show, Paul. I think he's going to be, well, I won't guess the age. He'll get pissed off at me and he'll say, Friar Phil, you dumb bastard. But I just wanted to make sure this hardworking guy that brings us the Ben and Woods show and does all the behind the scenes work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Deserves a happy birthday wish from all of us. So, Paul, happy birthday. Sincerely, thank you for all you do. And if you have any other questions, you can contact me and say, what's the problem?
You know, the the Friar Phil Cars mashup, I did not know I needed it on a Monday morning, and apparently I did very much. That
That's
was our beloved Friar Phil wishing our beloved Paul Reindl a happy 29th birthday. Just made my day.
Gift of the weekend.
That's not the best gift of the weekend. It's gonna be really hard to top a personalized, like a cameo. From Friar Phil, so
there's
well
a story
done
behind that too.
Yeah, there is. It's fine. It's over. We got what we wanted
Thank
at the
you,
end
Phil.
Of the day. Thank you, Phil. Just incredible as usual.
Huh?
Never lets me down, Friar Phil. On Friday we had Sam Gainey on, Padres senior director of player development. Of course, he joined us on the SDCCU fan hotline for our 97.3 The Fan spotlight on a Friar Friday. Here he is. We're talking about all things Padres, player development, all that good stuff. Stay right here. It's Ben and Woods. Sam, good morning to you. It's good to have you back on.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me back. As you guys mentioned, we're kind of at a fun part as we playing a little extra baseball here into September. I'm actually down in Arizona this morning for we're in the first week of our fall instructional league program, which is also a very exciting time for us. And as you guys mentioned, we've got a couple ball clubs trying to win their respective leagues. They're both of those series are 1-1. So I will actually be headed north to Visalia in the beautiful Central Valley this evening to check in on Game 3 of the California League Championships.
And Sam, how does that all get decided? You always just hear, oh, he's going to play winter ball, or he's going to instructs, or he's going to Arizona. Like, how do you guys decide who goes where and when and why and how?
Honestly, it's a process that kind of begins pretty much a couple months ago in the summer. Probably starts with the draft class, as you kind of, I think we've talked previously about, the 30 guys that make up our 2019 draft class, and kind of thinking about their workloads based on their, before they got to us, and then what they gave us this summer in rookie ball or short season ball, as well as some of our young July 2nd signings. But then it's also looking at, players throughout the rest of the organization and, who would benefit by coming to Instructs, which for us is a three-week program. Right now we have 63 players. We have some inter-squads going this morning. And Instructs is a very fun time for us because it's very much a cross-section of the organization. You have guys, coming from the AA level or, potentially are coming to work on something very, very specific, perhaps tightening up a breaking ball or making a minor swing modification, things like that. And you also have guys at the very other end of their careers. Today we will play a 4.5-inning inter-squad game, and we'll get to see the professional debuts of a couple of our young 16-year-old kids who signed in July. We have two position players who are big signees, one out of Panama, Reggie Preciado, and one out of the Dominican Republic, Ismael Mena, and two pitchers from Venezuela, Brian Medina and Luis Gutierrez. So these will actually be there. It'll be kind of a quiet, unknown inter-squad game on a Friday afternoon in Arizona, but it'll be these guys' first real professional game. So there are conversations that have honestly been taking place throughout the entire summer as we kind of think about what's best for these kids as they wrap up their season and think towards 2020.
Sam, you mentioned you're going to Visalia tonight for the California League Championship Series with Lake Elsinore, Amarillo's in the Texas League Championship Series. How much value, though, do you guys put on playoffs in the minor leagues? Because, honestly, during this season, the minor leagues are a place for development. That, the development of players takes precedent over wins and losses. You won't necessarily manage always to win. You're going to protect arms even more so than you do on the big league level. So is there value in winning a postseason title or even competing for one for these young players in your mind?
Absolutely. And, obviously you mentioned we have two clubs that are still going. We had our short season Tri-City club in the Northwest League. They had an exciting finish to their season. They went all the way to five games against the Diamondbacks affiliate and Wednesday night, and 2 days later, a handful of guys from that club are already out here. But for us, it's definitely not a one or the other when it comes to kind of the prospect of developing our players with winning alongside. Definitely at the end of the year, we look up and, you know, with our prospects and all of our players, we want to see them getting better in areas that we think are going to help them be productive members of the organization at the minor league level and hopefully at the big league level. But there's a realness to them playing as a group, and we take pride, honestly. Typically we are going to be, the last couple of years we've been very, very young, if not the youngest clubs in all of our respective leagues. Obviously we have a very, very young team at the major league level. So I think the challenge is even an additional one. It's like, we know that you guys are young, but we expect you guys to be very, very competitive, and the expectation is that we're going to win throughout the system. So it's very fun to be playing these competitive games and these meaningful games, fighting for something just late in the year.
We're talking to Sam Gainey, Padres Senior Director of Player Development, here on Ben and Woods this morning on a Friar Friday. And, yeah, I mean, you talk about meaningful games, and I think that's something that I know the fans here in San Diego are clamoring for. And you know, I was down near the ballpark the other night, and you just think about, hey, it's September. Imagine the energy if these games against the Cubs actually meant something for both teams. And look, I know your job is to develop those players, get them ready for the big leagues. What is the biggest challenge when you see a guy like Ty France just mash at AAA, and you see Luis Urias just crush and make adjustments, and then they come to the big leagues and struggle? What I mean, I know it's very hard to play in the big leagues. Not everybody can do it, but what's the biggest challenge in getting them from AAA to the big leagues and making them successful?
I think what you're seeing probably, and definitely in my fairly short time here with the Padres over the last several years, is I think you're seeing the quality of play at the major league level is incredibly high. I think we've always kind of heard about the various leaps between levels in the minor leagues, A ball to high, low A to high A, high A to double A, et cetera. But ultimately, like, I think the gap between the minor leagues and the major leagues is probably as wide as it has been. So it can be a little tough to simulate some of the competition that they are going to see on a nightly basis, especially when you're playing some very, very quality clubs at the major league level. You look for opportunities throughout the player's minor league season. I think something that we always take pride in is, and it kind of goes back to the winning and the development piece. Like, we definitely make sure not to run from competition. Say you have a young left-handed hitter, Josh Naylor is, in AAA in El Paso, and there's a really, really tough left-handed pitcher for the opposing team. Like, that's not a day off for Dale. That's a day when he's going to go out, and the expectation is he's going to compete in the box. And because, the level is not necessarily what he is going to see on a consistent basis in the big leagues, we have to embrace those challenges in the minor leagues, those opportunities we have to better prepare them for when they do get the opportunity in the big leagues.
Sam, we've talked this morning, obviously Yu Darvish is clouded us a little bit watching yesterday's game in the big leagues, but organizationally, Padres all year long, especially on the big league level, have not hit right-handers as well as they've hit left-handers. How big of a deal is that in development and creating that balance? Obviously, it had to be very key to the Franmil Reyes trade to pick up a guy like Taylor Trammell, but what are the discussions that go on when you talk about things like balance against righties and lefties in the organization?
I think our goal is on the minor league level and throughout the organization is to develop hitters who are very, very stubborn at the plate and give incredibly competitive at bats. I think we're trying to build approaches and swings that handle, stuff from both sides of the plate. I think when we start graduating hitters who control the strike zone and are really, really tough ABs, and have a swing that is built to handle, quality on both sides, I think that's when, we'll start seeing, even more and more competitive at bats at the major league level. But, at the minor league level and throughout the organization, it's a huge focus for us is developing a total hitter that is not, that is split proof, so to speak.
You talked about the guys who are going to be going to Instructs, fall league, winter ball. And I know most of those are minor leaguers. Occasionally you guys send big leaguers. I don't know how much in the discussions you've had yet, but I'm guessing Fernando Tatis Jr., if he's healthy, he's going to want to play for dad again in the Dominican Republic. What are the pros and cons of that? You know, he didn't get a full season because of injuries. At the same time, the last thing you want to see is one of your star players get hurt playing for a team that's not the Padres.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you know, separate from Fernando, or, you know, it's really a case-by-case basis when we talk about, you know, when we're planning these off season. As I said, it's a part of that discussion that has already taken place, you know, not, again, not specific to Junior, but to kind of all of our players, kind of examining their load. And, you know, I kind of would bucket players in winter ball and kind of the prospect of playing, you know, in an environment, whether it be the DR, Mexico, you know, Venezuela, you know, obviously an option in the past, probably not an option this year. We've sent players down to Australia. I think it's a, you really kind of look at, you know, is it a player who potentially missed some time and is needs innings, needs at bats? Is it a player that could benefit from, you know, seeing perhaps a little more advanced competition? Is it a player who could benefit off field from, you know, maybe going out of his comfort zone a little, you know, kind of experiencing a different country? You know, there's a lot of different reasons why a player would, we would choose to send them down there. And I think you kind of have to weigh them individually, you know, as you decide kind of how they're going to spend their off season.
Did your top two pitching prospects, Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino, check all the boxes you wanted them to check in their development this season?
Absolutely. I think I had a chance to, you know, both of those players, you know, are with that Amarillo club, you know, more as fans and good teammates. They're, you know, very pleased with where their season took them. I had a chance to sit down and kind of reflect on the year with both of those kids the other night. We were watching the Double A game, but yeah, I think, you know, from Mackenzie's perspective, you know, I think starting with from a health perspective, I think we had every confidence that when he took the baseball and he was feeling good, he was going to, you know, perhaps not dominate to the extent that he did. I think he was named the MLB Pipeline Pitcher of the Year. But he showcased everything pretty much on it, you know, on a weekly basis that makes him so highly thought of by us and by people in the industry. Lease as well. You know, I think we saw big strides with the development of his secondary stuff, and just, you know, his overall command. And definitely, you know, we got to a point with those guys where we both felt like they had, to use your words, they checked all the boxes. And, you know, I think thought that it was time to start preparing for 2020 with both of them.
We're talking to Sam Gainey, Padres Senior Director of Player Development here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Chris Paddock's been a guy that just has been incredible to watch this year. We were kind of debating it on the show earlier in the week. I mean, you know, look, if they said they wanted to shut him down, I wouldn't be mad. If they said that they wanted to give him one more start against, you know, a team fighting for a playoff spot in Milwaukee, I wouldn't complain about that either. I probably can't reveal your plan, but, you know, what is the thought process there? He ended definitely on a high note if it is over.
Yeah, I think I would probably defer to Andy and AJ on that one. And,
you got to, hey, whatever. You got to ask, you know, but when you look at him, and I know he's coming off the injury, but the guy seems to put in massive amounts of work on his craft. And I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, if they said, hey, we're shutting him down, I'd say, okay, makes sense. If they said, hey, we're going to give him 90 more pitches on the season, I'd also say, yeah, that makes sense as well. So
I think you described it. I think as we talked, whether it's talking about winter ball with some of our young players or kind of, you know, a decision to, you know, we have a lot of examples of those kind of decisions, you know, throughout the minor league season. You know, do we want to, you know, a couple more starts for this kid? You know, kind of when is the opportunity, when is the timing right? And there's honestly like very healthy debate and opinions on both sides. And, yeah, I think you try and get all the appropriate people in the room and kind of collectively make the best decision you can. But it's a nice problem to have when you have a player like Chris or some of the other minor league players we already talked about that had such strong seasons that you're in a position where you get to have that conversation.
Sam, it's been a pleasure getting a chance to talk to you a couple of times on our Friar Fridays. Enjoy your off season. I know you don't really get much of one player developments totally year round, but hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up again in the spring training. Maybe get a beverage or something in Arizona next year. Thank you so much, man.
Great to hear from you guys, and have a good one.
Thanks so much, Sam.
Sam Gainey on our management report on a Friar Friday with Bennett Woods. Ended up being a very tough week for the weekend for the Padres in Colorado. Three losses to a last place team. Never going to look good on the resume. We're going to talk about that coming up, Woodsy. Good morning to you, by the way.
Good morning, Benny.
Everyone had, I think, good weekends. We'll get into it. Some Hammer Time is coming up as well. Lots of NFL, college football to break down from over the weekend. Glad to have you with us. Oh, Dark 35, technically, here on a Monday. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
There's a new boy that you meet. He doesn't know the real surprise.
She comes again
when she's dancing beneath the starry sky. Ooh, she'll make you.
Well, dude, this would be my Cars jam. Again.
That's your number one?
Definitely my number one.
Not my number one, but definitely love it. It's their debut record, simply called The Cars, is damn near hit after hit after hit after hit. Just there's one really turdy song on it. And the rest just hits.
This is for me, being a younger guy, this is probably the most recognizable Cars song to me.
Yeah. It was all over the radio. Movies. I mean, massive, massive band. And in my opinion, I know they're in the Hall of Fame. I said this last night in my tweet. I still think they're criminally underrated. Talking Heads always got a lot more love than them. These guys smoke the Talking Heads.
I enjoyed it. It's Ben and Woods here on a Monday morning on 97.3 The Fan. I enjoyed, as I was driving in, the VH1 Behind the Music episode that you're so good at.
Thank you.
I had never heard of Rick Ocasek until. Did I say it right?
All right.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Rick Ocasek?
Yeah, a lot of people say Rick Ocasek. Ocasek. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had never heard of him until he died. But I knew the Cars.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't know. I'm not good at like naming the members of bands.
Unless it's like, hi, I'm Michael McDonald and this is my band.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Unless the front man is the name of the band.
Correct.
I don't really know the names of the guys in the band. Never kind of been into that. But when you explain it, I always find it fascinating. The backstory, how he produced some of the punk bands and married
Weezer.
A supermodel. Yeah. Going, wow. Very cool. I mean, I had no doubt that these stories exist. I'm just not well versed in them because
what
I spent
most
of my life, watching sports and not, necessarily diving in deep to the music. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and a lot of tributes pouring in from, big bands that everybody knows, the Killers. So much influence from the Cars on a lot of bands today. Like I said, man, it feels like a part of your youth died because I spent so much time with that guy in my head when I was a little kid and beyond. I mean, into my teen years, into my college years, I've never not listened to the Cars.
So I wanted to say this. Before I forgot about it. You know how you think of something and then you move on and, if you wait, it doesn't really mean as much later. So I'm driving in this morning, listening to you guys talking and having a good time, and I'm just thinking, man, great energy at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
With you and Hammer and Paul, I'm still wiping the sleep out of my eyes and climbing into the car. And it reminded me when I was younger, and I loved listening to radio, whether it was, talk radio, whatever, just good shows, good groups of people. And I always remember that feeling like, oh, man, I wish I was part of their crew. They sound like they have so much fun.
Yeah.
And with the best shows, the listener, when you're driving, you do feel like you're part of the crew. And I kind of had that moment while I was sitting in the car thinking, man, I love that, I can be part of this crew. And then I get to really drive in and actually be part of it in a few minutes.
Yeah.
I get to experience the best of both worlds kind of as the listener each day, which you don't ever get to do.
I never get to do that.
Because you're never in the car listening to your own show. That is actually kind of a weird dynamic that I have daily, that I get to listen to the first, 20 minutes or so of my own show every day. And it's actually kind of fun. And I wanted to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
For helping me on my drive into work. And hopefully, everyone else who's out there who's heading into work now feels the same way.
You right over there?
I am. I just banged the crap out of my knee. We try to bring the heat out of the chute every day at 5. I think Hammer's been a big help for that. And, of course, Paulie as well. Like, it's been fun. I was really dreading the 5 a.m.s. And now I've gotten used to it and I really enjoy it. And I kind of look at it like, all right, this, like Hammer, like, all right, this is my chance to shine a little bit. I like it. So it's been fun. Now, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be out of here. I'm taking a week off. And I'll be listening to my own show from Arizona for a little bit as I'm waking up preparing to play Old Man Baseball. But I'll be calling in, checking on you guys.
Are they an hour ahead yet?
Not sure. I've never understood how Arizona time works. I never will.
I believe that
like October?
They are an hour ahead during the winter, but then during the summer, they're the same. So you'll be on the same time because we're on daylight savings time, and they don't go on daylight savings time.
All right. Well, I'll be up early. I'll be listening on the app, the radio.com app, which, by the way, if you can't listen on the radio, listen on the radio.com app. It's very good. You can also tell your little smart speaker at home, play 97.3 The Fan. So my wife does every day.
You know, and it works all over the place. I hadn't realized this. I had a buddy from the Regal Seagull who went to Germany for a week.
And he said,
listen to you 2 in the afternoon. Tune right into the beginning of the show.
Amazing.
In Germany while he was out there. So, yeah, you can listen to us worldwide, and we do definitely appreciate that. All right, we got a lot to get to today.
It's a busy show.
You know, as you said, Mondays tend to be the busiest day in terms of topics because you have an entire weekend of baseball, football, college football to kind of chew over, and we will be doing that. Of course, we'll talk with Eric Adelson, our NFL writer and guru that we talk to every Monday, coming up at 6:35. We'll go into San Diego State's latest win. They're now 3-0 on the season after beating New Mexico State. Their offensive coordinator, Jeff Horton's going to stop by for a few minutes at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we will talk Padres baseball at 8:35. A.J. Cassavell from MLB.com, who got to be a special guest in the radio booth during the game yesterday with Jesse and Tony Gwynn Jr. Heard him do an inning and, you know, take some questions. We can continue to expand on that conversation with A.J. Cassavell coming up in our 8 o'clock hour at 8:35. So those are the guests. The topics are wide-ranging. I don't know. I'm sure we'll get to it more as the morning goes on. But the one that everyone was talking about last night was the big change with Kaboo and how it's going to affect the Padres next season. If you missed it, the festival announced last night that starting next year, instead of at the fairgrounds up in Del Mar, Kaboo will be hosted at Petco Park.
Yes.
Inside the park, at the park at the park, out on the parking lots, the Lexus lot, the tailgate lot, they'll have stages set up. And my first thought, before I saw any of the details, before I opened the news release, was, I wonder if they're moving it back a couple of weeks or if it's still going to be during the baseball season. Because that is a large-scale production.
Very much so.
You were there.
I was there.
I mean, and I just wanted to get your impressions on, you know, how that would translate. Because you went to Kaboo on Friday.
I did.
How that would translate to Petco Park in your mind.
You know, they do a thing at Petco Park called Dia de los Deftones. They did it last year with another one of my favorite bands, the Deftones. Now, I thought it was going to be in the ballpark. But it's not. It's a park at the park, which it turns out for a little mini festival like that, it's perfect. It was so done up. It was beautiful. They killed it. This one makes me a little nervous. I can't lie because I saw a lot of hand wringing last night. Lots. I mean, people really, really stretching with, well, what kind of message does this send? You know, you're supposedly going to be in a playoff run. Listen, you cannot get upset about something that has not happened yet. All right. You can't live your life worrying about something that's going to happen in exactly a year from now. We don't know where the Pods are going to be. We don't know what the season. Maybe they're 12 games up and it won't matter. Maybe they're not. So let's worry about it when we get there. Here's what I do know. I don't know what it's going to be like, Ben, because you're talking about, and I, man, if you had to ask me to guess how many people were at Kaboo on Friday, I'm really bad at this, but can I just say an ass load or a crap load?
Sure.
Crap load. There was a crap load of
people.
Said.
It's before 6 a.m. You can say whatever you want.
But like it was a crap load of people. And I sit there and wonder how was everyone going to get there? Where are they going to be once they're down there? How wild is it going to get? I'm assuming the main stage will be on the field. Now, these are all details we need to know before we get really upset. Remember when Owens played there? I mean, they thrashed Petco Park. It was thrashed. The field was really, really in bad shape. I'm not going to get worried about it now. I'm interested in Kaboo at Petco Park because I love it's great for the city. I mean, my God, the hotels, like the bars down there, it's a nice little influx of cash for San Diego.
Yeah, I think take away the Padres aspect to it, and I totally get it. I mean, yeah, you can stay in a hotel room right there, walk. you know, you talked about the difficulty getting an Uber in and out.
Oh, my God.
That's not going to be a problem. I guarantee you. In fact, by the way, think about this, because a lot of hotels open their reservations exactly 1 year out. That's like in a couple of days. You might want to book your hotel room for Kaboo if you're planning on going next year in advance, because that place is going to be jammed, and you're going to want to be down there. You're not going to want to deal with traffic in and out of downtown. You're probably just going to want to stay there for the weekend. But then, I mean, you've got all the restaurants right there you can walk to, bars, in and out of the festival. You're down there. It makes a lot of sense to me in terms of a big San Diego event. It's our best venue. It's our crowning jewel, our shining ballpark downtown. You'd want that to be there. So it really just comes down to, how will it affect the Padres? Could it negatively affect the Padres? And that's a discussion that we are definitely going to have here. And I don't know the answer necessarily. I know some people immediately snap judgment. This is terrible for the Padres. How can you do this to a team in September that's going to be in a playoff race? But what exactly are you doing to them?
I mean, it's going to be, look, the one thing we do know, there's going to be a lot of traffic. It's going to be really busy down there in the field. If the main stage is on the field, that means that a lot of people are on the infield. That means a lot of people are on the outfield grass, the giant stage, the light contraptions, the tents. I mean, dude, the Padres are up against it. They're going to have a day.
If they come back and they play their first home game just 2 days after the end of Kaboo on September 22nd next year against the Minnesota Twins, if they come back and there's a giant like hole somewhere in the outfield and Manuel Margot steps in it and, you know, twists his ankle and is lost for the end, you know, for the rest of the season and the playoffs because Kaboo is out there, well, of course, the Padres will be opened up to so much criticism, and deservedly so.
Sure.
If they come back and that field is not, you know, playable for their guys and they got to move games, you know, somewhere else, of course, that would be a disaster. Don't you think they know that, though?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm assuming that they're not going into this thing, you know, willy-nilly. Then again, I mean, it's a lot. I feel bad for the guys in the grounds crew that already know, man, my life is going to be a living hell in a year. It's going to be hell on earth.
And if the Padres will have to commit, and I would assume that they're already thinking of the plans, what steps do we have to take to protect the field? Is it part of it is like setting up the field at the very last minute? You may have to hire, you know, hundreds of extra people so you don't have to, you know, set it up a week and a half in advance. Because if you put the stage down on September 12th, you know, 6 days in advance, everything's going to be dead by the time you get back. So you're going to have to wait probably until the last day or so to at least put the final touches down on the field, you know, where people are going to be standing, sitting. And if you don't do that, well, yeah, again, Padres have opened themselves up to the potential of criticism. I'm not sure I'm ready to just sit and criticize yet.
I can tell you this. It's better than being at Del Mar where you're standing there and you're 75 feet from the stage and you're watching the Cult, who's a loud rock band, and you're having a full conversation and you can hear everybody. The music is down so low because of the NIMBY Del Martians, and I'm really happy that it's not going to be in Del Mar anymore. Plus,
we'll get to this a little more later. Maybe we'll take some phone calls. I know people are passionate about it. Right now, though, we have to get to Hammer Time, so let's go.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer Time.
Camera, I apologize. I ate into a little bit of your time.
Again.
Again.
You did it on Friday.
Oh, sorry,
it's fine.
About that. All right. Good morning, Hammer. Good to see you.
Thanks, man. So I was walking around UTC, and I always see like these parents with the kids, and like the kids like walk around like crazy. And I always think like when I'm a parent and I hear parents shame these type of parents is, I'd put my kid on a leash. No problem. Especially like when you go to Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, amusement parks for sure. But even like UTC, like a mall, like dude, I don't see the problem like having my kid on a leash. I'm not going to yell like, heel. But I don't want him to get lost. I don't care how I look.
Do you know that the leash is a conversation that's happened in our home?
Is it?
We've had the conversation of the leash. We've yet to...
Can I guess?
We've yet to incorporate the leash. Go ahead.
Hannah's pro-leash, you're anti-leash.
Correct. It's correct.
Why are you anti-leash?
I don't know.
You're going to lose your kid.
I'm kind of with you.
I'll tell you why I am. There's no other reason than this. I don't want to be shamed. That's the only... Is it practical? You're GD right. It's practical. It's insanely practical. But I don't want to be shamed, Hammer.
Someone with more parenting experience than anyone else in this room.
Yes.
We've seen that as well before. We've never used one on our kids. But the shorter the leash, the more effective it would be.
Correct.
A long leash actually would be
the retractable.
way more problems than it would be worth, because now your kids would be running off, they'd be tripping people with the leash.
Whether you get the yank back.
Yeah, you can't, that would look really bad. So the leash would have to be really short. And that's the one that would look the absolute worst. If you had your child on like a 1 foot leash.
Yes.
And they couldn't run anywhere,
right.
Then you just look like you're
lazy?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like you're the warden of some sort of small person's prison.
I just I'm learning this in parenthood in its infancy for me, that I'm not going to shame other parents. There, people have their own methods of doing things. I don't want it done to me, but I can tell you with 100% accuracy, the only reason that we have not employed a leash in my home is because of me, that I don't want to get those sideways glances from other parents. It's the only reason.
I'm just worried that, like, wouldn't you get shamed more if you lost your kid?
Well, yes, that's, but I you know, you like to think that you're pretty alert, you're pretty dialed in as a parent, and I get it, man. You turn around, sometimes the kid's gone, he's hiding in the pantry. It's happened to me.
I used to dip on my parents.
Of course you did.
As soon as I turned out, I was gone. Video game section,
yep.
Wherever I could go.
I've got a story, actually, from my weekend, my wedding I went up to in Sacramento that follows along with this, so I'll share that with you when we come back on the back end, and then we'll get into some NFL, more Padres talk, and more. Hammer time. Stop. Thank you.
Stop. Hammer time.
Ben Woods coming back. Getting your day really started at 6 a.m. Next, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.